Rushmie Nair with you on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, live on location. I used the bathroom, one of many, in this nearly 9,000 square foot home here in King City, part of the $8.2 million grand prize in this year's Princess Margaret Home Lottery to conquer cancer. You also get a 2023 Tesla Model Y and $1 million cash. That is enough incentive to get your lottery tickets now at princessmargaretlotto.com. The one toilet that I chose to use had like a built-in bidet scenario. I wasn't sure what was happening. The seat was heated. I had to wonder if someone had just used it. No, it's luxury I'm not used to. It's our Smart Speakers series, so let's bring in the gentleman standing by. We have Mark Mendelson, Newstalk 1010's crime analyst, former homicide detective, Mike Kaycook, co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor, and Scott Reed, Newstalk 1010's political analyst. Appreciate all of you making time for us on Budget Day.
Yeah, Budget Day. And bidet day, apparently.
Yeah. Can I say I have a bidet and it's a life-changing experience in purchase that I made?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is your seat heated, though, Mike?
No, I don't have the heated seat. I'm not fancy like that.
You got to start dreaming, man. Get your home lottery tickets now.
One day.
I'd rather have a chariot than a bidet. Like, I would use it as often. No thanks.
All right. Well, Scott Reed, the chariots weren't in the budget today, but some details that were interesting. We were talking about no bailout for Toronto before the break. What really stood out to you in the budget from Peter Bethenfalvy?
The political management that's going on here behind the scenes, behind the numbers. This budget's balanced. I mean, the uncomfortable secret for governments is that when cost of living and CPI and inflation bursts higher, government revenues explode. Now, there is a very strong possibility of a recession or at least an economic downturn that's pending. But for the current circumstance, the coffers are swelling. And this government has been sort of hiding money in plain sight. They have contingency funds. They have provisions. They put money and they say, we're going to spend this much money on healthcare. We're going to spend this much money on education. Then they underspend the budgets because they know they can't spend that much or they're not going to spend that much. And so the truth of the matter is the math kind of ran them down. So they will pledge today that they're going to balance the budget in a couple of years and try to take some credit for that. But the budget could be balanced this year or next year if they had made a different political decision. They don't want the city of Toronto to say, hey, if you got that much money, if you're in surplus, then for Pete's sake, share the wealth. They don't want to deal with the fact that they've been saying no to a variety of demands and concerns, even as they spend at a record level. So the art of this budget is that it's balanced and it's in surplus, but it's not politically advantageous for them to admit that. And I think that's a really interesting political dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Mike, out in Windsor, Ontario, are your listeners concerned about balancing the budget? Is it top of mind?
Yeah. You know, you want a balanced budget. And you know, we've been pretty good for, you know, lately with the provincial government spending money here, getting us a new battery plant and, you know, that investment coming from the federal and provincial government. So, you know, we've done pretty well. Our relationship in Windsor, Essex with our mayor here, Drew Dilkins, and Doug Ford seems to be a strong one. So I'm sure he'll be combing through this budget that just came out and see, you know, what is it for Windsor? What's going to affect us down here?
Mark, just from a policing perspective, we're looking at $425 million over 3 years for mental health and addiction. Do you think that that could help with efforts to improve public safety in some of the cities, including Toronto?
Well, without question. I think that if we look at the occurrences and the you know, the situations that arise that we hear about police interaction with individuals where they get shot, where they get killed, where they get tasered, the TTC, on and on and on. One of the common threads throughout all this is a mental health issue and on and on and on. And there really is a lack of ability for the police and for these individuals to get the help that they want. So I think that's money well spent. I mean, we're seeing it now. I don't know whether it's pre-pandemic or post-pandemic issues, but it's at the forefront of so many police interactions that I think it's very, very important. It's also interesting to note that he's asked the city of Toronto to open the books. Essentially, we want to see your ledger, And, you know, then we'll determine how much money we're going to fork out to the city. And I think that's a sort of a flag for people who are going to be voting for a mayor for this city, that even though there are mayors, you know, in terms of strong, you know, strong power, you know, ability, it's important for us to elect a strong mayor. Forget about his powers to veto and override things, but a strong mayor who's going to be able to sit down and push the provincial government moving forward. And that's something we should keep in the back of our minds when we go vote for the new mayor.
I know. I wonder. Okay, I'll put this to Scott. Do you wonder if John Tory was still mayor that we would have a bailout for Toronto in this budget?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it's about transactional politics. I think this is a strategy on the part of the Ford government. I think they're trying to keep that concession at bay. You think about their political coalition, and you know they've got to be careful about treating Toronto differently and uniquely. Yeah. I understand that logic. I just don't like it because the city of Toronto looms large in the politics of Ontario and in the budgets of Ontario and in the reality of Ontario. So Toronto needs a new deal. It just needs a new deal out of the higher levels of government because it's asked to do so much and it really has access to so little revenue. It's just, it does not make sense. It's a warped reality and it's got to get fixed.
Okay, I'm going to move on to MP Han Dong quitting the Liberal caucus. Unless anyone on the Smart Speakers wants to make another point about the budget, we'll keep that open. You guys can spit out any reactions that you have while you go through the details.
I'd just like to say, on behalf of the people not in the greater Toronto area, we feel like Toronto gets everything down here in Windsor. Don't forget us.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt until I moved to Toronto.
Yeah, then it was wonderful, wasn't it, Scott?
To the ground, Mike.
Yeah, he had to leave his chariot outside of the GTA, though, Mike. Mike, I mean, did you make sense of Han Dong quitting the Liberal caucus? This happened at like 8 p.m. last night. What are you making of all of this election interference stories?
Yeah, I think it's something that's got to be taken care of, and I think it's got to be, you know, done in the public, or I don't think people are going to trust at all what is found and what is talked about in an inquiry that is not public. And I think the public confidence is looking at it like, okay, well, what else is going on? What else is happening as far as interference in our elections from other countries, maybe outside China? So, like, let's not delay. Let's get this on right away and do it as soon as possible and get everything out in the public. And whether that happens or not, I don't know.
And why did it take so long for Han Dong to quit the Liberal caucus? It has been more than a month since these allegations came to light in journalism. The Globe and Mail and Global News reporting on allegations, all coming out of CSIS reports that were leaked. Mark, I mean, this is all really good material to jab your friend Scott Reed with, right?
I can find a lot of things to jab Scott about, but we're not going to get into it. But look, I think if you're living in this country and you're watching the news every day, you're sitting waiting for the next shoe to drop. But what it seems like is over the last couple of weeks, it's raining footwear. It's not one shoe dropping. It's every day. It's something else. And, you know, from my personal perspective, I don't need Mr. Johnson's report right now. I don't need his inquiry. I think what people really want is for all three parties or four parties, whatever, to sit down, each one pick a representative, find yourself a retired justice, whether it's a Supreme Court or Superior Court somewhere along the way, and have a full-blown inquiry as to what's going on here, because every day something else is happening. And, you know, I appreciate this is all spy versus spy and Boris versus Natasha and all this other stuff that's going on in the Chinese government. And you can do this hearing. You can have these hearings, although a lot of it's going to be in camera, just because it involves CSIS and spying and everything else that's going on. And we can't give up the trade secrets and the methods and the investigative techniques that are used in our country or in other countries to address this. So you do it in camera. But as long as they pick somebody that everybody agrees is credible, has absolutely no conflict whatsoever with the Liberal government, and do this and do it now, because every day it's getting worse, and I think people are just getting scared and frustrated, and this sort of lackadaisical blowing off of things for weeks and weeks, as you said, Reshmi, is not helping the situation at all.
I can't see him, but I can imagine Scott Reed has at least one thing to say about this. But we have to take a break for traffic. And then, Scott, it is all yours. I believe you are the only self-proclaimed liberal on the Smart Speakers panel today. So we do want to get your thoughts on the Don Valley North MP, Han Dong, quitting the Liberal caucus late last night. It's been less than 24 hours. And a lot of people are talking about that last part of his speech in the House where he was crying, that it might imply some kind of guilt. I don't know. There's a lot of talk. But we'll get into all of it right here on The Rush, News Talk 1010 Toronto.
To my wife, Sophie, and my kids, I love you. I thank you for all the support and love you give me. The truth will protect us. Our honor and our family will get through this together. Sorry about the house. Thank you, Speaker.
That is Don Valley North MP Han Dong in the House last night after 8 p.m., quitting the Liberal caucus after weeks of journalism and media coverage covering allegations from leaked CSIS reports that he is somehow involved or close to the Chinese government's efforts to get involved and disrupt our democracy and our elections. Now, he's denying any allegations, but Global News, along with the Globe and Mail, with a lot of reporting from Robert Fife, now Global News has details saying in February 2021, this MP met with a Chinese diplomat and urged that Chinese diplomat to delay the release of the two Michaels, Michael Spavor, Michael Kovrig, who were held captive, detained in China every minute, a minute too long. And the allegation is that he urged the Chinese diplomat to delay the release because it would make the conservative government look good. Now, the MP, you heard him there, tearfully quitting the Liberal caucus, saying the truth will protect us. Scott Reed, do you believe that? That we'll ever know the truth and that it will protect him?
Sorry, you blinked out there for a second, Rashmi, if you're asking me. I think three things about this. One, I think this issue has been brutally mismanaged by the Prime Minister and the government from the get-go. Two, I think a public inquiry won't get us the answers we want, but is now inevitable because it's the only remedy that suggests to people there's some measure of public and independent reassurance. It won't get people the answers because it's very difficult to work around the national security and the disclosure issues. And the third thing is I hope that he's guilty. I hope he's guilty because if he isn't guilty, it's an enormous miscarriage of justice. I mean, you say, well, this is after weeks of journalism. It's actually after weeks of editorial decisions that they're going to run stories that are based on an undisclosed, uncorroborated sole source. And that's a hell of a thing to do. So let's hope that that's all accurate because the logic of it doesn't actually hang together. And, I think there's been attempts to interfere in our elections. I think there's probably been relatively little success in interfering with our elections. But if the allegation is this guy's a plant, he's a Manchurian candidate, he's a shill from Beijing, then he doesn't need to urge the consul general because he's already in the pocket of the consul general and they're working together. If the allegation is that, you said the conservative government was actually a liberal government that was in power. So if the idea is that he wants to advantage the liberals, well, you wouldn't advantage the liberals who were bleeding support because the two Michaels were in captive. That didn't help the government. That didn't help the party that he was involved with. So that doesn't make sense. So, what was his motive and who was he in service to? So I look at the whole thing and I say, I can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense. It's a very specific allegation. I have real questions about the editorial judgment of a bunch of the reporting and the way people's lives and reputations are being shred by this. But ultimately, the questions are so serious, you got to do everything you can to get answers. So that's where we're at. But I hope he's guilty, because if he isn't, man, this is a hell of a thing to put a person through.
Well, and the effort to get answers is the interesting part of all of this, because it feels like we're not going to. And then there is plenty of time to speculate and discuss, right? I'm going to put to you the former Asia Pacific chief at the Canadian Security Intelligence Service joining Jerry Agar today, Michelle Juneau Katsuya, saying every single prime minister has been compromised ever since Brian Mulroney. This is how far back he's going, saying that there have been efforts to get involved and meddle in our election process. It's a question of what did the government at the time do, right? As opposed to, well, we need to know how far they got. It doesn't seem like there's any evidence that they got that far. But what did the government at the time do? And this could go back all the way to the Mulroney days, Scott. You don't believe it?
I think it's exaggerated. I think it's breathless. Like, I think that these issues are so important that they need to be examined. And there needs to be, obviously, after the mismanagement of the past 4 or 5 weeks by the prime minister, there needs to be a much elevated effort to reassure people.
Okay. I want to go to our other smart speakers here. Yeah, we've got Mike Keika, co-host of the Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor, and Mark Mendelson, News Talk 1010's crime analyst and former homicide detective as well. So, Mike, I mean, just listening to this, your take on what do you think average Canadians want out of this?
I think they want answers. I think they want the truth. Don't we all, right? And I think they want it out in the open to see how we're getting to the truth. In a political society where we're so divided down political lines, I think it's got to be the right people looking into this. It's got to be done the right way. And Reshmi, you said before the break, you know, what do we say about the crying, you know, his resignation? Like, is that crying of guilt or is that crying of, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going through this? And I haven't really decided that yet. But, man, it sure looks like he's guilty. And there's some pretty good reporters that did this. And you know, looking at Scott and saying, you know, what they did. And I hope the reporting is right. I have no reason to believe it's not. And I didn't like that he got a standing ovation during after his resignation speech. You know, this guy could have done some big harm to our elections and, you know, should be punished for it.
I hear the concerns on the individual level, right? But I'm also hearing from people who are flagging that these concerns about meddling, like foreign interference, has been going on for years, probably for as long as I've been alive, right? As long as most of us have been alive. So it's that individual case, but then it's a bigger problem that I think we as Canadians need to try to tackle. Mark, if we do look at this individual case, though, and, you know, the question of guilt, I'm sure as a homicide detective, you know, it must be frustrating when you know someone is guilty, but you can't prove it.
Yeah, well, it's all very frustrating. But I mean, going back to what Scott said, is I certainly hope that the Globe and Mail and Global have got all their ducks in a row. And this is not just a sort of an anonymous Crime Stoppers tip that flowed in, that they've got some real meat to these allegations, because these are very serious. And as we all know, it's the allegation that makes all the news. It's the acquittal or the resolution in favor of Mr. Dong that later on that makes no news at all. But I think, given the seriousness of all of this, it has to be investigated, and it has to be investigated really quickly. I heard part of what Mr. Katsui was saying to Jerry this morning, and you know, it makes me wonder whether there's huge leaks within CSIS as well. I mean, you know, so are they going to be the ones that are doing this inquiry? I mean, because he's given out the, you know, all the goodies that, you know, from his time when he was with CSIS. That's problematic as well. The allegations here are bordering on treasonous, and that's a very serious allegation. And that being the case, it needs to be looked into, just like everything else involving China right now needs to be looked into, and the quicker, the better.
I don't know about you guys. Like, I'm stunned.
I want to add one more thing, and this is important. If this guy says that this stuff has been happening since Mulroney, well, I worked for a prime minister and I handled national security files for a number of years for a number of months for a prime minister, right? After Mulroney. Were there concerns about, will there be efforts by the Tamil Tigers, by Punjabi nationalists, of that sort of thing in terms of interference? Of course. Were there reports with the heated, breathless, hyper-politicized tone that was used on Jerry's show from this guy about, our democratic processes are compromised? No. So let's not say that our our systems and our elections have been compromised going back decades. Okay. That is not true. That we is not demonstrable.
I mean, we can at least say our systems aren't transparent. The best way to control all of the speculation is to be honest and truthful. And we started this with you admitting that the Liberal government didn't handle this properly in trying to come forward with the truth. We still don't know the truth. I trust the newsrooms of Globe and Mail and Global News. And I'm sorry, Mike Kakuk, we missed your last point there, but maybe you can tweet us.
That's later. Okay. It wasn't as good as what Scott said anyway, so we didn't really miss much.
You guys are all wonderful. I appreciate you so much. Mike Kakuk, co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor. Mark Mendelson, News Talk 1010's crime analyst, former homicide detective. And Scott Reed, News Talk 1010's political analyst.